During Christmas time, it's always a great time to think about the Lord Jesus Christ and the meaning of Christmas, of why did Jesus come into the world, of what it means that Jesus has come into the world. And I think we've heard so many messages about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the birth of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, in fact, that I think there might be some elements of it that we might have left behind and forgotten to tell the whole story. What I want to tell you this evening is another part of the story that you might not be as familiar with, or maybe you are. I remember the first time when I was led by the hand by John Owen and later Jonathan Edwards to see the wonderful truth that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. And once I saw that and then went to the New Testament again and read it again and afresh, and I started seeing that this truth is everywhere in the New Testament. This is one of those truths that's so fundamental it changes the whole way you read the New Testament and think about the life of Jesus Christ. It's kind of like so vast, it's like a really great building. And all I can do this evening is I can show you where some of the rooms are, and hopefully you'll go away this evening and for the rest of this week and the coming weeks, and you'll go to the New Testament again as well and open it up and look for yourself where you see these truths, because I can assure you, you're going to find it everywhere. So what we're talking about this evening is Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. Now, you would know already, and just so you won't be confused, that Jesus himself is God. We often speak of him as the second person of the Trinity, the triune God, because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the same time. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what we celebrate during Christmas is the wonderful thing that God has become man in Jesus Christ, that God takes on flesh and he dwells amongst us. That is what Christmas is about. But even more so, Jesus was not only the second person of the Trinity become man for us and for our salvation. He was also anointed by the Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that God the Father had laid out for him to accomplish on our behalf in salvation. There are so many places we're going to turn to this evening, but let's start with this passage that was just read for us by Jonah in John chapter 3, verse 34. We see in John chapter 3, verse 34, exactly this truth being explained to us. For he whom God has sent utters the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Now, what John the Baptist had been explaining up to this point, and John the Apostle then records for us here, is that there is one who comes from above, down to earth, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he comes from above, down to earth, he reveals things from above. He reveals things from God himself. How does he do that? Well, he does that, according to this verse, by the Holy Spirit, whom he has without measure. Well, how can we see that he has the Holy Spirit without measure, according to this passage? Well, look at it. It says, for he whom God has sent utters the word of God. So here we see Jesus explained by John the Baptist, recorded by John the Apostle, being explained as he is the one who has the Spirit without measure. And the way you see he has the Spirit without measure is he speaks the word of God. Now, this is one of those truths you're going to see being overemphasized over and over again throughout this message this evening. Because what happens when you see Jesus being anointed with the Holy Spirit is constantly the Spirit and the Word go together. They work side by side. The Spirit is the one who inspires the Word, who illuminates the Word, and anoints Jesus to speak the Word. We see also further in Acts, I'm going to go through a couple of passages. Maybe you want to write down these references and then go to them afterwards. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter is announcing this wonderful sermon of what happens in the event of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is poured out just as Jesus had promised He would be, Peter preaches about this event. And then he quickly connects it with the one who promised the Holy Spirit would come, Jesus. He says this in verse 22 of Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you know. Here Peter is explaining what it means that the Holy Spirit had fallen on these disciples of Jesus. And he says, well, the first thing you need to understand about the coming of the Holy Spirit is that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. And all these signs and wonders and manifestations of God's power were all signposts to point you to Jesus being anointed with the Holy Spirit before the event of Pentecost even happened. The reason the Holy Spirit is poured out on Pentecost is because Jesus has the Holy Spirit without measure long before He poured Him out on His disciples. So we see here that the manifestation of the work of the Spirit in the life of Christ is that He does these signs and wonders before these people. And all of these are signposts to Jesus' identity. Though He is Jesus of Nazareth, and though He is a man, He is in fact more than merely a man. He is man, and He is God. He is of Nazareth, and He is of Bethlehem, the King of the Jews, and the God over all the universe. Likewise, as Peter takes the message to the ends of the earth, he takes it to the first Gentile convert, Cornelius, and he preaches to Cornelius a wonderful message about who Jesus is and what Jesus had accomplished. In Acts chapter 10, he explains to Cornelius the coming of Jesus. He says, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Here you see Peter proclaiming Jesus again to this Gentile, Cornelius, and he tells him exactly what Jesus has done. And the way he starts explaining Jesus' identity is he says Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the way you see Jesus being anointed with the Holy Spirit is that he went about doing good, and he went about exorcising demons, those who are against God, the evil one. He went about overthrowing them. Because he was indeed the one who has bound up the strong man so that he might be able to conquer him forever. The anointing of the Holy Spirit on the life of Jesus in this passage is seen as a wonderful manifestation of God's inaugurating kingdom. God's kingdom has come, and as a result of that, the Holy Spirit is on Jesus. And what happens then is Jesus goes about doing these good things. He goes about healing people. He goes about healing people from the deepest possible capture of evil, being possessed by demons. And the wonder of all of this is, after Peter proclaims this message of Jesus' identity and being filled with the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and his household. We see exactly that in that chapter 10, verse 44 and 45. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Jesus is the one who's filled with the Holy Spirit, and because he is filled with the Holy Spirit, he exorcises demons and evil and brings about good, and he sends the Holy Spirit on all who would believe. Now, I want to show you some snapshots of how it works that the Holy Spirit is in the life of Christ in this way. And there are several events in Jesus' life where you can see this. I think if you look closely enough, you can probably see it everywhere in Jesus' earthly life. But we're just going to take these snapshots, and hopefully you can go and study for yourself afterwards as well. The first snapshot is the Holy Spirit in Jesus' birth. The Holy Spirit in Jesus' birth. And we find a lot of these reflections in Luke chapter 1. Now, Luke chapter 1 is really one of those remarkable chapters because it's been 400 years of silence from God to the people of Israel. The last prophet had spoken the words of prophecy, and after that, there was no more prophecy for 400 years. Yes, there were still Jewish writers who were recording the history at the time, but no more did they hear from God Himself through the word of the prophet, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And here we come to Luke's Gospel, and 400 years of silence ends with the loud proclamation of angels. And these angels, they come to visit Elizabeth and Zechariah, and they tell them the wonderful news that you will bear a son, Elizabeth, and this son you must call John. Now picking up from verse 14 in chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. 400 years of silence, and then suddenly God breaks in again. And he announces that there will be this man, John the Baptist, through these angels that appear to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and the Holy Spirit will be upon him in a special way, because he has a very specific mission. And we see that mission in verse 17, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit for this purpose, that he was to open the roads, make the highways clear, that the Lord himself would come. The Lord Jesus, who was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. The purpose of John's coming in the Holy Spirit is to make straight the path before the coming of the Lord. And then, heaven is not silent again, but speaks once more. The angels appear this time not to Zechariah and Elizabeth, but to Mary. And they too announce to Mary that, Mary, you will bear a son as well, but you must call his name Jesus. The angels say to Mary, from verse 32, he will be great, and we will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, meaning he'll be the king, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Mary receives this wonderful news that she'll have a son, but not merely that she'll have a son, that she'll have indeed the king of the people of Israel, the Messiah that they've been waiting for, the fulfillment of the prophecy to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He is the king who would fulfill all these promises. But there is a difference between Mary and Elizabeth. Mary is a virgin. So she says immediately, how will this be since I am a virgin? She's saying, how can this happen? This cannot be. And the angel answered her in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy, the Son of God. You see, what happens here is a multitude of miracles. It's not merely one miracle. Firstly, the Messiah would come. The one whom all the prophecies in the Old Testament had pointed to will come. And Mary will be the mother of this child. But not only so, Mary is a virgin. It's impossible that she could have a child. And so, another miracle takes place. But not only so, this child won't just be the king of Israel. He'll be the very Son of God. He will be empowered by His Spirit without measure, and therefore He will be called holy. Because the one who overshadows Mary is holy. Therefore this Son will be holy. He is the King. He is God. This is the birth of Jesus. You see, once Jesus is then born, you can see the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus in every single episode as well. Once Jesus is born and He's presented at the temple, for instance, in Luke chapter 2, we meet the man called Simeon. And Simeon had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. He'd been waiting for the Messiah and for God's deliverance of Israel his whole life. And he knew that God would answer his prayer. We pick it up in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. You should no longer be surprised when you see that. Because in every step of Jesus' earthly life, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is going to be there. Even in this man, Simeon, who'd been waiting to see Jesus. It says in verse 26, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." God's anointed Messiah, filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. The same Spirit who anoints Jesus and anoints Mary for this birth, this miraculous virgin birth of the Son of God, is the Spirit who indwells Simeon and gives him this prophecy that he would see the Lord's Messiah filled with the Spirit. And so Simeon, who can see these sorts of things, he looks at Jesus and he knows this is God's anointed Messiah. He is the one to bring the consolation of Israel. So he announces in verse 29, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon can see that this one Jesus Christ, who is the anointed of God, is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will not only bring the consolation of Israel, but he would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. The manifestation of God's Spirit in the person of Jesus is the salvation of the world. This is what Simeon sees. By Jesus' incarnation through the Holy Spirit, which we celebrate at Christmas time, God initiates his mission of the second Adam. The first Adam had failed in his mission to be God's servant, to be God's steward of God's garden. The second Adam comes to rescue. And the second Adam is here to show us what a new mankind looks like when it is anointed by God's Holy Spirit. Jesus receives the Spirit without measure. That's the first glimpse we have of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus, the Holy Spirit in Jesus' birth. The second place we see the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life is in his baptism. Now I turn to Mark chapter 1. John the Baptist's message from the very beginning of his ministry was that after him is coming one who is greater than he. You remember John the Baptist, even before he was born, the angel announces, what is the purpose of John's life? And the purpose of John's life is to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord who will be filled with Spirit beyond measurement. And so that's exactly what John announces. He announces, the Lord is coming. And he announces, he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Mark chapter 1 verse 7, he says just that much. And he preached saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, being anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure, is the one who's coming after John, who is so much greater than John, that John can't even bend down to start serving him by untying his feet and washing his feet, because this one is so much greater. But not only so, this one coming, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. John, his ministry is a picture of what Jesus' ministry is going to be the reality. John baptizes with water. Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who's able to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And now what happens is more remarkable than can be imagined. Jesus, though he is the one who can baptize with the Holy Spirit, asks John to take him through the waters of baptism. It says in verse 9, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the waters, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Jesus goes through the waters of baptism, firstly, as an act of solidarity with sinful mankind. He is the second Adam on the mission to save humanity who is stuck in their sin because of the first Adam and because of our own sinful hearts. So he shows his solidarity by going through the waters of baptism, which was a sign of repentance. He had nothing to repent of, but he goes through these waters for us and for our salvation. He is the one who can reverse the course of sin and death. And in these waters of baptism, we see something remarkable happening, something we should be expecting by now. We see Jesus anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. The scene is dramatic. John baptizes Jesus, and as Jesus comes out of the water, heaven is torn open. And what we see is the Spirit descends physically, visibly, like a dove, on Jesus. And then we hear the announcement from heaven, from the Father of light, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Here we see the anointing of Jesus, that he has the Spirit without measure, and the Father's love being declared on Jesus as the combined act of God showing that he is ultimately with Jesus, the Father's proclamation of his love for his Son, the Holy Spirit's anointing of Jesus in this act of baptism. The Father and the Holy Spirit are going to be with Jesus so that in his ministry he would be filled with the Holy Spirit without measure, so that he would accomplish everything that God has planned for him to accomplish. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. And if he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he is filled to be anointed as king. He is anointed as king to lead his people into salvation. He is anointed as priest to intercede on their behalf before God. He is anointed as prophet to speak the word of God to them. Because the one who is from above speaks the word of God to us. Jesus has received the Holy Spirit without measure. The last episode we'll look at this evening is from Luke chapter 4. And that is the Holy Spirit in Jesus' temptation. Now, it's a really remarkable thing that what happens exactly after Jesus' anointing by the Holy Spirit and going through the waters of baptism. You would expect that he would take his seat as king over Israel. But he does not. He goes and is thrust by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. This is so remarkable that this is the next scene in the Gospels. Because what he does in the wilderness is he overcomes human weakness by showing the power of God, his own power, and the redemption which he is about to bring. You see, as he goes into the wilderness to be tempted, he shows that he is not going to fail mankind like Adam failed mankind. Adam being in a wonderful garden where he had every luxury at his disposal, no sinful inclinations in his heart, and yet he rebelled against God. And here is Jesus in the garden. Not in the garden, but in the desert. And here he is without food and without water, without any natural resource to be at his aid, but filled with the Holy Spirit, showing that he would accomplish what Adam could never do. He would bring about the redemption of mankind. But not only in comparison to Adam, also in comparison to Israel. Remember, God called out Abraham and the people of Israel so that they might be a light to the nations. That the nations would look at the people of Israel and say, that is what God is like. I want to follow after God all my life. But in their first encounter in the desert for 40 years, they grumbled against God. They would not listen to God's word, nor would they listen to God's anointed servant, Moses and Aaron. Rather, they would do their own thing. And here is Jesus in that same place of weakness in the desert. But he does not grumble. He does not give in to temptation. But he is filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. And he stands. I said earlier that we'll see reoccurring in this the combination of the Word and the Spirit. And that's exactly what we see in the temptations of Jesus. Every time the devil throws something at Jesus, he twists Scripture very well. And he throws it at Jesus. But Jesus answers, not with new revelations, but he answers with the Bible in his hand, in his heart. He answers all these temptations with Deuteronomy and the Psalms. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. He answers him. Deuteronomy 6 verse 13. Psalm 91 verse 11 and 12. And Deuteronomy 6 verse 16. Jesus answers Satan with the Bible. So if you ask yourself, how should I face temptations? How should I face temptations if I were filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus takes the Word of God, and Jesus knows the Word of God, and Jesus answers with the Word of God. This is a demonstration that the Spirit and the Word go together. The Spirit has inspired the Word. The Spirit illuminates the Word. The Spirit brings the Word to our remembrance. The Word testifies to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit testifies in our hearts, he testifies to Jesus. Jesus is filled with the Spirit and overcomes all of these temptations. Jesus was filled with the Spirit without measure. Friends, we could go on and on and on to show you how many places we can see that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. I wish I had time to take you through all of Luke chapter 4, one of the great chapters in which we see Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit and what that means. But actually, we can see this in every single episode of Jesus' life. We see it in Jesus overcoming the evil works of Satan. We see it in Jesus performing miraculous works. We even see the presence of the Holy Spirit in the cross, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. We see it in Jesus' resurrection, 1 Peter 3, verse 18, and 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. All of these things show us that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. Now, it's wonderful to see Jesus like this, that He's filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. But you might wonder, how do we appropriate this for ourselves this evening? Here are some thoughts. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, there is no other experience to look for than to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus has the Holy Spirit without measure. And so if He has the Holy Spirit without measure, He's promised to give Him to all who would trust in Him, who would believe on His name. If you're sitting there and you wonder, what does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit without measure? I'd advise you to look no further than the earthly life of Jesus. This is a man who is filled with the Holy Spirit without measure, unconstrained by anything. He has the Holy Spirit. If you want to live in light of these truths, we need to recognize that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within us. Isn't that marvelous? This Holy Spirit who anointed Jesus to accomplish all these works and now has raised Jesus to life again, He is at work in all of us who believe, working in us to live a life which is pleasing to Him. If you want to experience more of His sanctifying work, do exactly what Jesus did. He didn't run away from the Word in seeking the Spirit. He went to the Word to experience more of the Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. May we be a people who trust in the Jesus who is anointed in this way. Let's pray. Oh Father, we are so thankful in our hearts to start even celebrating Christmas as we think about Jesus who is so anointed in this way. That He was perfect in everything that He has done, and He has accomplished all those things by Your Holy Spirit who has enabled Him. Oh Father, we are thankful that He was willing to accomplish these things for us. Stir in our hearts a new vision of Jesus, that we would long to see Him more and more, that we would long to meditate upon His Word, to be transformed into His image, to be captured by Him, to be filled with the same Spirit which has filled Him as well. Fill us, O Lord, with Your Holy Spirit. Do not send us away here without Him. May we lead lives which are filled by the Spirit in Your power, so that Jesus might be manifest amongst us. In His name we pray. Amen.